keep getting this sort of sense of playful joy about this time. It's sort of, I don't know, it just feels like all my birthdays come together, sort of just the chance to explore metta with a group of women in this sort of context over the next few days. So we've got the chance to look at the quality of metta as a path to insight, a path to greater freedom of heart and mind. So what is metta? Let's start with that. Metta is a well-wishing, that brings us into harmony and solidarity with ourselves and with other people. We'll start with that. Over the week, we'll maybe create a sort of collage of what metta is, but we'll start with that. It affirms our basic connectedness. It goes beyond our sense of isolation and separation. The two things can't exist together. You can't have this sort of sense of well-wishing and flow and connectedness and feel separate and isolated at the same time. It's not dependent on conditions, in the sense, well, it is dependent on conditions, but it's not in that conditions can bring it about, but it's not dependent on who we like or don't like, who we feel safe with or comfortable with or threatened by or different to, or who are like us or not like us. So it's a very universal quality. It doesn't deny, it doesn't sort of say, oh well, that wasn't unskillful behavior or that wasn't an unpleasant sensation, but it just sort of, it's imbued with an understanding that sort of sees conditions as conditions, the conditioned arisings as, well, that's what's happened. And there's a love in that response. That doesn't mean it's sort of okay to be nasty, but it just means that there's a love that arises out of that understanding. There's a sort of there's a focus on a sort of deep care and a sensitivity to how we get ourselves in these states of mind and attitudes towards each other, rather than a sort of feeling threatened by that. In fact, metta gave rise to the whole of the Buddha's teaching. It was out of his metaphor response to the confusion, the suffering, the alienation that he perceived in the world and people around him, that he taught the Dharma. It was a metaphor response that he wanted us to be free of our shackles of confusion. It was a very natural response. He didn't sort of think about it. He didn't go, oh right, yeah, now I've got it and I should sort of go out and sort everybody else out. It was just a sort of a very spontaneous, natural response. Yeah, it's he wasn't. He's totally free, so he wasn't sort of enclosing himself, or his energy wasn't caught up in any way. So that total free flow of energy just naturally cared for whatever was in experience. And the response to that was to try and articulate a way that everyone could be free from that. So very quick recap on how his response manifest, what he taught. So we've got the Four Noble Truths. Yeah. So we've got the basic suffering, tension, confusion, feeling separate, isolated. Can we all relate to that? Yeah? Otherwise, if you go, can you please come up and carry on? Yeah, we've all got that one. Okay. So the response that I normally have when I'm caught up with this is wanting things not to be like that, basically. Wanting things to be different than they are. Wanting the conditions that have arisen not to have arisen. Yeah? Doesn't tend to help very much. But there's still, you know, we want to be free. We know we want to be free of these shackles. Yeah. So in a way, it's a sort of sense, it's our best attempt to try and be free of these constrictions. Yeah. So the active word in what I just said is wanting. Yeah. We want things to be different to how they are. Either we want something we haven't got, or we don't want what we have got, but whatever way, we want it to be different. Yeah. Got that too? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Hope I'm ringing a few bells here. Okay. So what is the alternative response? Or another question could be, what happens, what is the response when that wanting, when that craving isn't present? Yeah. Well, I put it to you that there is a sort of natural feeling Bhante talks a lot about contentment in this little book on living with kindness. I don't know whether you've seen it, but it's a really, really beautiful book on metta. And he talks a lot about the quality of contentment. And I suppose it's not too difficult to see that quality of contentment is sort of quite different to the quality of wanting. You know, we've got we don't, in this state of contentment, we don't need anything external, objective, to make us feel complete. Yeah, to make us feel okay, to make us feel safe. There's a natural sense of connectedness with ourselves, with everything. We don't, because we're not sort of in this pattern of wanting something from life all the time. We can just be. Yeah? We can be with a sort of, and there's a natural sense of connectedness. There's even a natural sense, I would put it to you, of care for whatever is in our experience. Yeah, of love. For whatever it, when we're not sort of preoccupied by what this is doing to me, or am I going to say the wrong thing, or you know, how are they going to sort of feel about me, or what's there's a that sort of closes down all our ability to be sort of naturally loving and caring about what's in our experience. Yeah. So. Yeah, so there's a natural quality. I would even say these things can be very subtle. You know, we're not talking about sort of well, care can be a very sort of gentle thing. It doesn't have to be a sort of you know, it can express itself very actively and, you know, ameliorating people's conditions and teaching and doing whatever you're doing, but it can be just a very sort of sensitive opening, a breath. There's a traditional sort of formulation of the Bodhisattva principle or path that I really like, that talks about helping those who cannot breathe freely to do so. Yeah, and you just think of all the different ways that we don't breathe freely. Yeah, sort of emotional, physical, mental things that happen in our life that sort of close that down and stop us from just taking that free, open breath. So yes, from that sort of, you see, I'm already doing. So it can just be a sort of a movement of sort of release or opening, rather than a movement or a tendency to close, yeah, to close down. So metta is often talked about in terms of, well, it's a very expansive quality, yeah, but expansiveness doesn't have to be sort of like right out there all the time. Expansiveness can just be that little sort of shift from to. Yeah, that's this is just as expansive as this is, yeah? And wherever we are, the next bit of expansion is always that, or that, or that, or that, yeah? So what we're looking for are those tendencies in our being of that sort of opening movement rather than the shutting down movement, yeah? Just read this lovely book, I'm saying just as a reference for you, because you might enjoy it. I think it's called something like Compassion and Emptiness in Early Buddhism, something like that, by Anālio. Is that right? Something like that. So he talks about metta in terms of radiation, yeah, which I think is it's tapping into this idea, you know, it's like that when we abate, even I mean, in any moment we're either closing or opening. So in any moment, if we're not craving, if we're not grasping, we're actually opening, yeah, and that's a movement of radiation, of heart opening. Bhante also talks about his teacher Dado Rinpoche, and he talks about him radiating love from a sort of centerless place. It's quite mysterious and quite beautiful, because, you know, he's talking about his teacher, and he's obviously had this sort of very strong direct experience of this sort of love pouring out of this man that sort of doesn't seem to come from anywhere. Yeah. So the path of metta, as a path of practice, can and hopefully will tap into this natural flow of care and connectedness. And because its nature, if you like, its movement, I didn't bring the quote with me, I might find it for you later, but Bhante talks about, in the Living with Kindness, he talks about metta, something like a sort of, it's a flow, or it's a movement in our being. I don't remember the exact, but it's something like that, isn't it? Sort of the movement in the being. So, and its nature, the nature of that movement is one of radiation or expansiveness. Yeah? And because of that, it can take us beyond our limited, closed-minded sort of suffering creating habits, the way that we hold ourselves together, and to me this may be personal, but it can carry with it a sort of profound sense of beauty, actually. The possibility of a sort of a heart that's sort of fully open and alive and vivid to life, that feels with, that's fully responsive, fully connected, and not separate to everything in experience, that cares for everything in experience. I don't know, it just, to me, that's very, very beautiful. So I say this not to sort of, not for you to think, oh God, that's way over there, but just to sort of be affected by the beauty of that, because that's half the battle. If we can be touched by something, then our hearts are beginning to open. And that's all it takes. All it takes is that little tiny response. And then, if we I was going to say celebrate, but, just allow that or savour that, then the next moment of response can be another one of sensitivity and movement towards freedom. So it can be a very beautiful, even a joyful path. And a retreat like this is an opportunity for us to share that process with each other and to rely on each other as well as ourselves. We don't all have to do it all by ourselves. We're breathing together in this room. We're all sensitive, vulnerable people. We're all closing and expanding in different ways all the time. And the chances are that if I might be in a very sort of distracted, closed state one moment, someone else is more open and responsive. So we've got access to that. Although we think we are, we aren't isolated, separate beings. We affect each other all the time. One day, I'll get one of these books that opens like that, and I won't have to work out where I am and what I'm trying to say. Okay. Okay. So it's important to recognize this, because the path to freedom isn't always easy. Well, not in my experience anyway. Apparently, there are some people for whom it is. What is it? Pleasurable in the beginning, pleasurable in the middle, and pleasurable in the end. I'm told. But quite often, we're just tired, or our minds are a bit dull, yeah? Unresponsive. We're stressed. Yeah? Our senses are bombarded with stuff all the time. And when we're in that state, yeah, we can sit with our experience fine. You know, we can bring understanding. We can understand why those causes have happened. Why, you know, why it is that you know, I had that response and said that again, you know, etc., etc. I can understand that. But if I'm coming from that sort of tired, stressed, rather dull, a bit disconnected state of mind, the emphasis is on, oh, I did that again. You know, the tiredness sort of seeps through everything, the despondency sort of creates our world. Bhante says in Living with Kindness, that self-metta is almost as simple, or something like, yeah, it could even be thought of as a question of simply attending to our self-critical tendency. Yeah? It's so we create the next moment with how we are with this moment. Yeah. So we, you know, it's not surprising that if we're shut down and we're tired and we're stressed and we're bombarded, that we'll respond to our experience in that sort of self-critical or demanding or just despondent sort of way. Yeah. Yeah, it's like another thing that Bhante says is, in quotes, oh, I must get rid of my negative emotions. You know, it's like we just don't want them in our experience. Yeah, or we feel like there's only so much happiness to go around, because I'm feeling a little bit sort of, you know, self-protective and vulnerable. You know, it's like actually, I don't want to sort of use all the happiness to give it to someone else, because then I'll be sort of lacking somewhere. There's this basic sense of lack that unless we address that, it's going to affect our ability to just straightforwardly wish other people well. Yeah. So a question then becomes for me, that arises for me, is so how do we effectively, authentically, and deeply wish well? How do we get into a position where we can? That's just a sort of, you know, those natural responses of care for whatever is in our experience are free to express themselves. I'm assuming that you resonate with those sorts of states of mind that I was describing, of dullness and despondency. So, it's easier to feel that sort of natural care and expansiveness when when there's more space in our experience, yeah, when there's more ease, actually, release in our experience, when we're, I think, in my experience anyway, when I feel sort of just, I can sit easy, I can sit open, it's easier just to have that sort of sensitivity to experience, you know, my heart movements or other people's heart movements, what's going on around, and when I feel at ease and open, I do find we'll do some exercises, we'll do some workshops on this later, you know, we'll unpack all of this sort of over the course of the next few days, but when we sort of there's a natural sort of responsiveness to those wonderful and unique conditions manifesting before us in the guise of a unique human being, you know, it's sort of I know once I was on a solitary retreat and I was struggling with metta and with sort of feeling connected, and sun came out much like this morning, and I was looking at this bush, and as the light hit the leaves on the bush, you could see each vein on each individual leaf and each sort of particle of colouring in the leaf, and it sort of, you know, it just sort of leapt off the bush, yeah. And what I noticed was my immediate response was a sort of a heart opening to it, a care, a responsiveness, I'd have to say love, you know, a sort of going out to that bush. It's like as the light came on it, yeah, I could respond. Yeah? So we need to give ourselves the conditions, yeah, for those responses just to arise like that. To feel that sort of contentedness that allows us to just be totally present and alive and vivid with our lives. Yeah? When we don't feel so squeezed and bombarded and tense, insecure, there is just this natural response of care and interest and well-wishing. Yeah? It's like we're giving ourselves the gift of those conditions. Yeah? So that we can learn how to sort of, there's a phrase that's quite sort of current, I think, these days, that sort of deep listening, that we can sort of, that we've got the conditions to sort of bring that deep listening into play. Just attend more carefully to our experience, I suppose. So over the course of the next 10 days, I think it is, something like that, we will, we'll start to sort of explore these areas and how we can bring those conditions into play that we can really sort of ease into, open into, and allow for the beauty of those responses, for that metta to be more present with us. And we'll just sort of learn how to notice what we're doing that stops that response, you know, the wave that we sort of get in our own way to make it more difficult. So in the as a sort of general overall condition to help us, we've got each other's practice, we've got the mandala of practice that we're creating that isn't really a personal thing, it doesn't really belong to any one of us as an individual. We're going to also use silence as a condition, because it's less easy to feel bombarded and stressed and pulled in all directions at once when you've got that sort of that quality of silence, you know, that lovely quality of silence that you can get on retreats, which is sort of is very connected, you know, we're all practicing together, but it's not bombarding our senses on that level and not stressing us or not pulling us in different directions. I hope you all delight in the silence that we create together. And if you're not, you know, if you find it's closing you down more than opening you up, then do come and find one of the team members, because that's not its purpose. So, yeah, I mean, primarily we're going to just be exploring sort of ways in which we can give ourselves the best conditions for those responses to flourish. In the first phase of the retreat, we'll use our responses. Look more closely, if you like, at our responses to ourselves, the sort of self-critical faculty, and to others. You know, how our sort of what is it people say that heaven are other people and so is hell. And in some traditions of Buddhism, they say, well. You ought to worship other people just as much as you worship the Buddha, because they're the cause for us to, you know, if we work with what happens when we come into contact with other people and we free that, then that's just as much a cause for the freed mind as the Buddha and his instructions are. So anyway, you get the general idea. So we'll be sort of exploring that, and then in the and that's called traditionally that's called being metta with being as a reference. Yeah. So this is the sort of territory that we're fairly familiar with in the metta bhavana, sort of those sorts of areas. Then we'll start to look more deeply at what I've touched on, this sort of this mechanism, this basic tendency of craving that will keep recreating the patterning that we engage in. We'll look more carefully at that and explore that a bit more. And that we refer to as metta with dharma as a reference. We'll go into this more as we move into that phase. And the last phase is less easy to say anything about. This is a meditation retreat, so we will be sort of probably having less and less input and, you know, deepening into this. But it's what Bhante calls the phase of objectless metta, or metta with no reference. Yeah. So in a way, we're moving into a state of
Well, we're sort of collect in this phase, we're sort of collectively evoking the qualities of metta, or the qualities of the freed mind, and we're trusting to that. You know, we're letting ourselves go into that. We're sort of really, you know, we've connected with beings, we've connected with ourselves, we've got that sense of connection, we've sort of understood what really causes suffering, and then we just sort of we really have to sort of trust and believe that when craving isn't there, yeah, there's a natural opening, a natural care and responsiveness. So we're evoking the qualities and letting go into them, letting them just be there, letting that be the case. It's very difficult to talk about this because it's... But you know, hopefully through a few led meditations, some ritual, and chanting, and various other things, we can create that space together. Okay, so that's the sort of the flow of the retreat, if you like. We're using the sort of teaching method, I suppose you'd have to call it, of listening, reflecting, and meditation. Yeah. So we'll present something, and then there's a chance to listen and take that in, and then just to see, well, how does that resonate with my current understanding, the way that I live my life, and how does that fit in? And what we'll do is we'll have a bowl at the back of the shrine room where you can write down questions, you know, that come up that if you want to clarify what we've been working with, yeah? So we'll work in as we go through the week, we'll work in the answers, you know, some of the answers to those questions. And let that sort of take our explorations a bit further. And there will also be, you know, at times just a chance to check out, you know, like, well, do you know that feeling? You know, just to check out where you are with what we're presenting and things, and to ask questions in the group. So we're also going to offer you, and then we'll, so that's the reflecting bit, if you like, and then we'll also do some workshops and maybe some led meditations and things that will help to sort of, for us to sort of take that into a more sort of direct, deeper connection with that, yeah? Once we're clear on what it is we're opening to. So because of this format, we're going to do most of what we're doing in here in the shrine room, so that we can move between a little bit of presentation and some practice. Yeah. We're going to offer you meditation reviews. So we'll have, I think, are there lists already up there? Or there will be lists this afternoon.
What do you mean of who's
no, well, there's lists of who we'll be doing reviews with, and then also the time slots, the opportunity for another thing, another little grid, I think, yeah, another piece of paper where you can sign up for time slots for those reviews. Yeah. So check where your name is and then sign up with the person. And they are optional. Everything we offer here is optional. Yeah, it's part of the sort of really want to encourage a sense of spaciousness and openness. So you know what you need. Yeah, you take that. You take responsibility for that, and open into the possibilities that we offer. Okay, so. This afternoon, we will have reporting in groups. So this is a chance for us to just help us to be more present and bring in anything that we feel we need to bring in, to be more present and vivid to ourselves and others, sensitive to ourselves and others. And also a chance for us to sort of maybe share a bit about our relationship, our existing relationship with metta and or insight, you know, so that we can see that. And that really helps us when we're presenting things, because we know what, you know, we can then address what the issues that you have are, and, you know, not something that actually, that's all sorted. We don't really need to deal with that. So, yeah. So, yeah. I think that's enough of that. Is there anything else I should say at this point? And we'll come back into the, that'll be at 4, I think. We'll come back into the shrine room at 5:15, we'll have a break. And the groups, will they be on? Okay, we won't. So we've got 4 groups. We've got the Vajras, who are in here. We've got the Lotuses, who are in the lounge. Yeah. We've got the Flames, who are in the dining room. Please don't set fire to the tables. And we've got the completely integrated group of all the qualities mixed together, and those who weren't assigned a group to go with the Kulajalani, who's actually is the net of. her name means net of, or the, what your name means?
I'm the one who has a net of spiritual community.
Yeah, so there you go. So that.
It's that sense of interconnectedness, like an Indian net.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the last group we'll go there.
And that would include Nina and
Simone. Yeah. Okay, so is that...
That's in the art room.
And that's in the art room.
Yes.
Thank you. So is that clear? Right. Yeah. We're still waiting to be joined by Claire, who will probably come before supper. Okay. So, we're 12 now. We'll have a 15-minute tea break. No, we're 10 to 12 now. So we'll break till 5 past. 12.